Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Dale Hurd of CBN News, and you're listening to Audrey Russo on the Real Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo and you're listening to Real Talk. The CCP was pushed back a bit under President Trump's first term, but during the past 4 years, they have gone leaps and bounds forward into our culture again, and President Trump has them on his radar. And we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Major General Paul Vallely is a West Point graduate, a retired deputy commanding general for the U.S. Army, a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam, and a graduate of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces and the Army War College. Throughout his 32-year military career, Major General Vallely served in positions such as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, and military advisor. His theaters of operation included Europe and the Pacific Rim countries. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. General Vallely has served as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel and is a guest on numerous nationally syndicated radio and TV talk shows. He's a best-selling author and the founder of Stand Up America. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Major General Paul Vallely. Welcome back, Paul.
Well, thank you. I can't tell you what a pleasure is to do your show. It's just wonderful and far-reaching, and I love your questions and focusing on America first. I think it's just wonderful.
Thank you so much. That's very gracious. Thank you. I thought we'd jump in with this. Some of your articles, you are a great writer, but these particular articles right now are fascinating considering we're going to touch on the CCP. Not almost directly, but we've talked on the show about the influence and infiltration of the CCP into our government and our nation through politicians, media, entertainment for some time. I understand that the movie Ninja 2 is a prime example of that propaganda. It spreads anti-American sentiments. Would you share about that film with us?
Well, I mean, it's... It's known now that China has been funding a lot of movies that appear on Netflix or Prime Video or some of the other streaming services. And But this has been going on for quite a few years, of an infusion of capital into Hollywood to influence Americans and to subscribe or support China in a way. And much of this information has come from our China team, which is part of the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. I can't give you the names, but these people on my team are Chinese. Several of them have been previous members of the Chinese Communist Party. And so they have feelers, they have connections still back to China, what's going on. But America has been very naive as to the infusion of China propaganda into our culture. And as you know, in other articles, into the universities, into our government, into members of Congress, and so on. But the Chinese are very smart when it comes to information warfare, no doubt about it. What we used to call strategic psychological operations.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about, too, with the Confucius Center. They were everywhere, basically. And I think the other thing that made people or helped along the naivete was the fact, and I go back to blaming Kissinger for this, but the fact that many of our products are made in China. So they figure, they see made in China, well, they can't be our enemy. You know, we're doing business with them, right? Isn't that true?
Well, that's part of their culture, too, is the development of their economy. And they've done very well over the years in manufacturing, but their low cost of labor, as you can see, the low cost of Chinese products that you can get off of Amazon every day. And I look now, and I won't buy anything that's made in China, and I make it a provision, because they're not our friends, that's for sure. They would like to be the top economic power in the world. And they're not far from it. I mean, they're having their own problems internally, but I think from the standpoint, we have to realize that they're an existential enemy of the United States and will do anything to overthrow us. I don't think they'll ever attack us militarily. They may, as anticipated, try to take Taiwan. But keep in mind, our nuclear weapons, we have them targeted. Every military installation in China their government facilities, we have targeted it in our Defense Department. And each target has a number on it. So if they were to launch against us, all we have to do is punch in the number on the target list and it would take out that launch facility, for example, coming out of China. Very sophisticated.
Right. We've talked before about the fact that we figured, at least under Biden, they were just going to take Taiwan. But now, has that changed with Trump in office?
Well, I think it has. I don't think they will. I never thought they would. I think it was just blustering and trying to create a threat over there. But they also know if they do that, there's very five top armed forces in that area. Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, and even the Philippines. So some of those armies, like the South Korean armed forces, one of the top five in the world. So they would be pro-Western, pro-United States as allies of the United States. So China knows that, and China hasn't been in any battles.
Right.
Their armed forces haven't been tested at all. They have a lot of great equipment. Of course, they got a lot of that technology from us to develop some of their aircraft and sea vessels and so on. But they're big into space now, so that is a real threat to us. But let's just say it's looming. Yeah. Is it maybe the right word?
Yeah. Well, you know, before President Trump took office, you shared on the show what is necessary to have the fighting force necessary to protect our nation. Now, in your article, Building Our Military for the Future, you share particular areas where we need to focus. So let's just take a look at a few of those. In the area of capabilities and readiness, what's necessary?
Well, it's necessary that we have warfighting forces, as I call them, in the Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, and the Space Force. Our Navy is in really bad shape. That's why we need to bring shipbuilding back to the United States, as President Trump has stated. not very good. The maintenance is just horrible in our Air Force, as I understand. But we are getting a plus up now in recruiting, and hopefully we can get new skilled members of our armed forces, really great technicians that can build or maintain our equipment. That's important. But we've given up so much in ammunition, rockets, and missiles to Israel now, as well as to Ukraine. So our supplies are very much limited now. So we have to put money in to build those back up again in case, say, for example, ammunition.
Right, right. The especially now we know that Ukraine, they're not getting anything else from us, correct, under Trump?
Well, supposedly yesterday we're going to give them some limited stuff. I'm not sure what it is as they go through the negotiations. But the meeting in Saudi Arabia this week indicates that there may be a 30-day ceasefire. Supposedly, Ukrainians have agreed to that. Now, the team of Rubio and Walz will be meeting and discussing this with the Russians and to see if they can have a meeting of the heads. But I'm not sure Putin ever wants to be in the same room as Zelensky and vice versa. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out. They may have to do it behind closed doors. Some kind of barrier between them. I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt that they want, well, I doubt that Putin wants to be in the same room with him now. Of course, I'm not, you know, I mean, Putin is still, I will say that Putin's not, Russia's not, and I agree with my friend Michael Walsh, and I think you would agree. They're not an enemy, they are an adversary. Do you agree?
No.
No?
No, I don't think they are. We don't understand the Russians. Yeah. And I put out before, you never see a Russian diplomat like Lazarov or any of their ministers on U.S. media. No one ever discusses the Russian side of this whole thing. It's always the Ukrainian side.
Right.
Here's the Ukrainians. But the Ukrainians are one of the most and have been one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And if you look at the four western, eastern provinces of Ukraine, the Azovs, the neo-Nazi battalions, have decimated and killed so many and injured so many pro-Russian people in eastern Ukraine.
Yes, yes.
And they had an election a couple years ago, and 92% want to be Russian. They don't want to be Ukrainians. They hate the Ukrainian government. But nobody ever looks at the Russian side. And you can't keep denouncing Putin. He's become a very sophisticated statesman.
Yeah.
You can't keep calling him a murderer and all that. I mean, Lyndon Johnson in Vietnam and George Bush in Iraq are responsible for killing more people, injuring more people, our own, plus robbing our treasuries than Putin has ever done.
Right, right.
And they keep putting this scare tactic in that Putin wants to take over the rest of Europe again. That's not true at all. It's total misinformation.
Right.
You have to look at both sides of this. And they took down Russian television, so we couldn't see that. I can get it on the internet, and I do watch it to get a feed, and I have been in Moscow, as you know. I set up the first meeting between Putin and Trump in March of 2017.
Right.
So, I mean, you could call him an adversary, but you could call the European nations an adversary now.
Yes, you can. Yes.
You got to match it all up.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's crashing on Trump and the United States for standing up and so on.
Yeah.
And they want to continue to extend this war in Ukraine. So who are the bad people here?
If you ask me, I would say Ukraine over Russia at this point is the problem. And we hadn't spoken since he went to did that Oval Office meeting. What was your reaction to his behavior, Zelensky?
Well, he's an amateur. I mean,
he's a schmo.
Former actor, comedian, whatever he was.
He's not funny either, but go ahead.
He doesn't have the capacity to negotiate at the highest levels. That's why he can't get anything done. And you got to understand, he's a puppet.
Yes, he is.
The five major billionaire oligarchs in Kiev run him. They manage him. And he's backed by the neo-Nazi Azov. They're the force behind to protect him. And if he steps out of line, they'll assassinate him. So he's purely a puppet. The Ukrainians don't seem to have anybody else that the oligarchs like to put in his place right now. So I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Right. Well, I will say as a side note that his sweatsuit was a statement of disrespect to us. Who comes there and can be taken seriously coming exactly. to the White House like that, you know? So nobody could take him seriously.
J.D. Vance and Trump read him correctly, and they took him to the shed and paddled him a little bit. But he didn't know how to handle it, that's for sure.
And he got booted, which I was applauding. In the area of military operations, which includes maritime, airspace, and cyberspace, what's necessary there?
Well, the same thing. We've got to rebuild the manpower. We've got to train them so they become skilled in our armed forces and all of those commands. We need to cut out the fat. We need to make sure that DOGE looks really into the Pentagon and a lot of the wasteful money that's been wasted, filling the pockets of many of our defense contractors. Now, we need those defense contractors like Boeing, Grumman, Lockheed, and so on. But certainly the consultants, you can't, and I've worked in that area back in Washington. If you look at the hundreds of consultants who are on the payroll, we don't need all of those. We're paying our government to do these things, our military, and yet they want to go out and hire all these consultants to advise them. I mean, we train all these people to do these things in logistics and so on. So there's a lot of waste in the Pentagon, and hopefully Pete Hegseth, and with the support of his tech support group, Elon Musk, will be able to flush out and will save a lot of money and focus on putting the money into warfighting equipment and personnel.
Right. Well, talking about, that's a great segue to SecDef Hegseth. Do you see him accomplishing these things by what he's done so far? And if yes, what has he done that you would applaud at this point?
Well, first of all, is the senior military guy, C.Q. Brown. He had to have him retire early because of his stand on CRT, DEI, and promoting, saying to the public, we need more black pilots.
He's a racist. Yeah, he's a racist.
Okay, so we don't need that kind of thinking, and that won't go away with a gentleman like that. We have the same thing at the military academies in our commands. So you're going to see more generals and admirals retire early. Hopefully they'll bring Milley back and try him for treason. That whole structure, there's so much fat in our military, it's incredible. We have more staff to fighters. We should have fighters basically dominating the number of personnel versus staffers. I would do away with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We don't need them anymore. I would select one general admiral and make him 5 stars, and he'd be commander of the Armed Forces of America. Report directly to the president. You can't believe the staffing. I mean, if you look at the Pentagon, you got all the political appointees on one side, department, you know, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the Army, Deputy Secretary for this, Assistant Secretary for that. Right. It's all a duplication. Yeah, we do need the civilians in charge. That's the way we're set up. But they don't need all the staffing because they have all the staffing on the military side. So you have dual staffing, if you can picture it, going down through the whole organization of our military. And we don't need all this duplication. So you can save a lot of money there. Doing away with offices that aren't necessary, commands that aren't necessary. And so we need a total revision of our military right now.
Wow. Do you think that Hegseth will do that, will accomplish that? I don't mean that to be disrespectful to him. Does you think he's aware of that it's doubled and that we don't need one?
Yeah, you just look at his book. If you read his book, you'd see he put it all in there.
Yeah. I want to...
Plus he was in the military for a long time. He saw what was going on.
Oh, sure.
He actually served in combat.
Right, of course. Now, I want to talk about these two active duty and one former soldiers from, they were Chinese descent, that were arrested in Oregon last week for their roles in gathering and sending sensitive information to individuals in China, of course, the CCP. All three are charged with conspiring to commit bribery and theft of government property. And I mean, there's individual, you know, charges, but I'm not sure if they've been charged with treason, but do you think they should have been charged with treason?
Well, let's see what the evidence comes up. They're ethnic Chinese. They had Chinese connections. They're obviously passing information to them, which is treason. So we'll have to see how that plays out through the judicial system, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, as they call it.
Right, right. So if they're found guilty as traitors or of treason, if they are brought up on those particular charges, what do you think the punishment should be?
Well, we don't do death anymore.
Why not? I think it's a deterrent. To be honest, yeah.
They'll go to a federal prison.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay, Paul. Where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work? And well, order all your books, including Betrayal, the newest Betrayal and Treason in America, and The Dismantling of America, Beyond Treason, Invisible Treason. Where can they order all these things?
You can go to our website, www.standupamericaus.org. You got to put the U.S. in there. StandUpAmericaUS.org. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, which is open, by the way, in over 24 countries right now. And so we have a dedicated follower on our newsletter. It comes out every Saturday morning, then again on Monday. All of our books are on there. They're on sale right now, and you can get them again on the website. But we also appreciate any donations people can give us. We've been around for 20-plus years, and when we formed this back in Washington, D.C. with Admiral Lyons and General McInerney, we put this whole organization together, and we have very few negatives, Audrey, about what we do and what we say. It's just great the support we get across America and overseas.
Which is excellent, excellent. If they want to get autographed copies, can they do that?
Yes, if you order them off our website. They're available, of course, on Amazon, but if you get them off our website, then I can personally endorse them and sign them with the special notes to our buyers. So we encourage that. But the books, they tie everything together, what's happened in our country, and solutions as well we provide in there. And those solutions, a lot of them are being followed by President Trump, for example, in the Pentagon. You know, you talked about threats to America. You didn't read the biggest threat we have now are the cartels.
Yes.
And they have been. I've written about that.
Well, I think, it looks like he finally got the message from you because he put the military on the border, finally.
And in Mexico.
Oh, and in. Okay.
Yeah, we have special forces down there now. Of course, we have a lot of intel agents. So we're looking at to where the cartels are now. They've spread out, evidently. They know there's a threat from America to destroy them, but they control all of Mexico. The president of Mexico controls about 35 square miles in Mexico City. That's it. About it. The cartels control everything else.
Yeah. Well, she's a Marxist, too. So anyway, and as always, I will have all those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info you need to follow the general's work. Thank you so much, Paul, again, for your brilliant assessments. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then.
Okay.
My God, thank you. May God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.